Thanksgiving, and I like to think on the book of Psalms is full of thankful songs, if you will, the psalmist writes, and this is a beautiful song of thanksgiving, and I simply want to title the message this morning, The Believer's Song of Thanksgiving. National Day of Thanksgiving is a wonderful thing, as we'll be celebrating Thursday. But the child of God has this myriad of reasons of giving thanks, not just one time a year, but every day of the year. And this psalm here, Psalm 103, explores several of those reasons. This psalm was written by David. It was probably written when he was an older man. It contains the language of a man who has experience and the serious consequences of sin, but also the very forgiveness and pardon of God. I was reading through some of the commentaries that I have, and I came across Spurgeon, who was considered the prince of preachers, and he said of this psalm, he said, "As in the lofty Alps, some peaks rise above all others, so among even the inspired psalms, there are heights of some which overlap the rest. This 103rd psalm has ever seemed to us to be the Monte Rosa of the divine chain of mountains of praise." So this morning I want us to think about and spend a little time in this mountaintop of David's life, this mountaintop of praise. Psalm 103, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judges for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children's, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Blessed be the Lord, all ye this host, ye ministers of this, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." The believer's song of thanksgiving. Notice in verse 1, that this is a request being made here for thanksgiving. David speaks to stir up the inner man to praise the Lord here. And perhaps he is in some spiritual slump at this time. Perhaps his praise isn't as vocal or as frequent as it should be. So he challenges his soul to bless the Lord. The word bless here means to kneel before another in praise and adoration. It is a call for the soul to give adoration, praise, and worship to a worthy God. We are living in a day that is truly in a drought of praise among the people of God. I can recall, and I know you probably can recall as well, my grandmother would tell stories of how church used to be. The church house was full on Sunday, where in the older buildings they had the windows that would raise and the yard would be full, and the old tent revivals that would happen in a community where they had the sawdust floors and hay bales for seats, and people were not afraid to be expressive, you know, of their faith. Even Baptists used to shout, right? They used to get excited for God. But something has happened. We have shifted, and there seems to be a drought among the people of God. Perhaps we would do well to stir up our own soul, just as David here did, to praise the Lord, even in the midst of our troubles and our trials, and in the midst of people watching, and not for a show, but just to let them know that we are not ashamed of our faith. Secondly, in verse 2, you will find the requirement of thanksgiving. The requirement. David warns his soul of the dangers of forgetting these benefits of the Lord in his life. The word benefits, as used in this scripture, has the idea of dealings. It comes from the same root word that gives us the word camel. And so the word forget refers to a lapse of memory that can cause one to begin to wonder. When we forget what we have in Jesus and who we are in Christ, there is a danger that we might start to wander away from Him. And praise is what keeps us tender, and it keeps us clean and close to Him. And notice here that thankfulness is not an option, but it's more of a command here. If you'll remember in 1 Thessalonians, where Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, chapter 5, he's said to be thankful always, right? To always be thankful for what God has done for us. Praise is also beneficial. What does praise do for us? You know, try to water down our praise, and we try to conceal our praise. But praise is a very beneficial thing. It brings peace to the heart, right? Just as it did with David here. Perhaps he was in a slump, and perhaps he was beginning on that downward fall where he was forgetting all that God had done for him. So it brings that peace of heart. It brings peace of mind. You remember where David mentioned, let's not forget all the things that God has done and the blessings that God has done for us, the redemption that God has provided for us. It also brings contentment. Contentment. That's a big word in our society today. We're no longer content, are we? I was thumbing through Facebook, and I don't know why it was all there, but you know how algorithms are in with all the technology today. But anyway, all I've been seeing on my feed lately is these house plans, like floor plans and pictures of homes. And I'm, of course, I have no interest in that. I don't need none of that. But they're not like small, simple homes, right? It's not like the home I grew up in, but we're talking like massive houses where you had to put your phone in like the landscape mode to see all of it. It's so massive. And I think, why do we need that? You know, you go down the highway, especially into Memphis, and you see these huge houses where two people live. And you're like, why do you need all that, right? I don't want to have to clean what I have now. I sure wouldn't want to have to clean something that massive. Are we content in God? The word bless here means to kneel before another in praise and adoration. It's a call for our soul to give adoration and praise to God. David warns this requirement to be contentment, to be content with Him. And then in verses 3 through the remainder of the chapter, we find the reasons for thanksgiving. David identifies about 8 of these spiritual reasons that should stimulate our hearts to offer God thanksgiving, to be mindful of our praise to Him. And not just in November, right? Not just the last week of November, not just the fourth Thursday of November, but every day of the year we should be thankful. And this is the reasons that David gave, and I believe they would be reason enough for us as well. First one he starts off with in verse 3 is God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. In Him all sin is gone. And I'm so thankful that it is, that it's cast as far as the east is from the west, as he says in verse 12. Who forgives all iniquities. And then notice also in verse 3, not only God's forgiveness is a reason to be thankful, but God's healing is a reason to be thankful. In Him, the soul is made whole. Now, healing comes in many forms, right? Many formats, if you will. We have our physical infirmities, our sicknesses that we have, and God is able to heal those. Now, do I believe that you get smacked upside the head and that God heals you? No. I believe that God is still in the healing business, but I believe He gave us a thing called common sense as well. And that's why we have doctors, and He gave them the knowledge to learn those medical procedures and all the things that they have to know to provide healing. But also, I think David was on a more deeper level than just a physical infirmity. I think David was talking here about God's healing of the soul, how that Christ makes the soul whole. He heals that spiritual infirmity that we have. Verse 4, the first part, David mentions God's redemption. In Him, the soul is, or we stand redeemed. And in that same verse, he mentions God's grace. God's grace. In Him, we have received grace and mercy, compassion, salvation, these eternal blessings. We see how these verses reveal the great truth of God's sovereign grace and salvation in our lives. In verse 5, we see where David talks about God's peace. In Him we have been given the spiritual satisfaction, that sufficient strength for the journey that is ahead for us. Verse number 6, David talks about God's intercession, how that in Him we have one who pleads our case. I'm thankful that Christ is our advocate, right? Michelle will know a little bit about this. You know, when you have to go to a court, you have an attorney. You have one on a prosecution side, and you generally have one on a defendant side. And the prosecution's job is to prove that the defendant is guilty, right? In America here, it's guilty beyond reasonable doubt, I believe is how it is termed. The defense side has the job, the task of proving innocence, right? That the client, the one accused, did not do whatever it is that they have been said that they have done. And so they usually hire a defender. Sometimes they are appointed a public defender. Sometimes they are hired, so they are just a defense attorney. But the job of that attorney is to prove that guy is innocent. And that's what Jesus does for us. We are, by all faculties, we are guilty, right? We all have sin in our life. But when Jesus came and saved us, He became our advocate. He became our defense, right? And so when we stand before God, the Almighty Judge, He acts on our behalf, and He makes that intercession for us, and He proves that we are not guilty of sin because we have been covered by His blood. He makes intercession for us. Verse number 7, David talks about God's revelation, that in Him we can know Him, we can fellowship with Him, we can follow Him. And this is a great biblical truth in knowing. Some say, how can you really know someone of whom you have never met or never seen? But He has revealed Himself in His Word. And so He is one that we can believe in and have that blessed hope in. Going down to verse 19, David brings out another reason to be thankful. This is how he kind of closes us out. He says in verse 19, the Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. God's sovereignty. You know, we serve a sovereign God. And in Him we can rest in His control of all things. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad that God is in control, right? Because if we had it our way, and you know, my way may not necessarily be beneficial to anyone else in this sanctuary this morning, and vice versa. Your way may not necessarily be beneficial to anyone else or to myself. And we can't really rest in knowing that the control of things rests in a human individual, a sinful mankind. But knowing that God has control, right? Knowing that everything that happens, as we believe, happens for a reason. Can we explain that? No. Do I try to explain that? No, because it does no good. All I know is I take trust and faith in God that whatever happens is happening because it needs to happen. And perhaps it is lining things up to get us to where we need to be, right? That's how I look at it, that whatever has happened, whether good or bad, it goes to get us where we need to be. And as David closes this psalm, he calls on all creation here. In verses 20 through the remainder there, to join him in praising the Lord. He calls out the angels and the saints and servants and sinners, along with all creation, called upon to offer God praise and glory and adoration that He deserves. Now this morning, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of His blessings, and because we could think about our families and church, God's Word, the material blessings in our life, our health, the food we eat, right? The air conditioning, the heat, your home, the water, your clothing, your friends, the list goes on and on and on. Your blessings are enormous. So our thanksgiving and praise should be in direct proportion to our blessings. And the question this morning is, are they? Are our praises equaling out how much we have? You know, God has given us so much. And this would be a great time for God's people to stir up, just as David did here, the inner man. And that inner part of our soul to bless the Lord. Not just Thursday, right? Maybe not even just on Sundays. But to thank Him and praise Him every day. It'd be a great time to do a spiritual inventory and thank Him for everything that He has done for us in Christ. You know, usually at the end of the year, we kind of look back. Of course, that's getting closer. We look back over the last year and we kind of take an inventory of things that have happened. You know, I know one of the churches I was at one time, they would go through and they had a average attendance for the whole year and how many for Sunday school, how many for worship, and how many on Wednesday nights, and how many joined, how many left, how many passed away, how many were baptized, and the list goes on. It was like an inventory of how we did as a church, and we did it in our own lives. Take that inventory. You know, we do that usually at the end of the year. But perhaps this is a good time, maybe this week as you have your study time, your quiet time with God, to take that inventory and say, Lord, I thank you for all that you have done for me. That's so much. And perhaps we wouldn't even have time to really list everything, right? Because there is so many. Anything needs to be said this morning? That's all I've got. I don't think there's no need of an invitation. If there is nothing to be said, then I will dismiss us with a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And Lord, help us to be like David and stir up that within our inner soul to just praise you and thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, for our families, our church, our people, Lord, that you have put in our lives, we are so thankful for each and every one of them. Lord, even the smallest of the blessings that we get, we are thankful. Lord, as we depart from here today and we go our separate ways, we pray that you would help us to be a blessing to others, God, that may be struggling this time of year. Lord, may they see you within us. Lord, help us to lead those that are lost to your saving grace. And Lord, we just pray that you would grant us safety as we may travel and bring us back the next appointed time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.